We can't be a hearer only, but we must be a doer. We should not be ashamed of the Word of God. Turn over to 2 Thessalonians 1, 8 through 9. 2 Thessalonians 8, 9 through 1. Be not therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor for me his prisoner, but be thou partakers of the afflictions of the gospel according to the power of God, who hath saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which he was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began. 2 Thessalonians 1, 8 through 9. You know, we can't be ashamed of the gospel. Every one of us in this room that is a Christian had to hear the gospel preached and taught to them. What if the people that was teaching and preaching us was ashamed of it? We wouldn't have heard it. I've said this before. If someone comes up and asks if you're a Christian, you say, I'm a Christian. You say, what was that? What'd you say? We need to be proud of the fact that I am a Christian. I am saved, and as long as I remain faithful to the end of my life, I'm going to heaven. Now, you want to know how to get there? We need to be telling people how to get there. You know, Tim Reed and I was talking this morning about sometimes we feel guilty because we're not bringing more people into the folds of Christ. But I told Tim, I said, what about in the Old Testament? How many times did the prophets in the Old Testament, God told them to go preach repentance to the Israelites, and what did the prophets come back doing? Lord, they're not listening to us. Why are we doing this? And what would God say to them? God would say, I told you to go preach to them. That's all you got to do. You ain't got to convert them. You ain't got to make them repent. All you got to do is preach to them. Because Tim and I were also talking about how bad is it going to be on Judgment Day when we're standing in front of the judgment seat of God and we have a neighbor or a relative standing beside us and they say, why didn't you mention him to me? But if we're preaching and teaching the Word of God to everyone we come in contact with, when those people get up there and say, why didn't you mention him to me? We can say we did. You just weren't listening. You just didn't pay attention. I mentioned him, but you just didn't have time. Because once we preach and teach the word, then it's off of our shoulder. We've done our part. Now it's on to them. So we need to not be ashamed of the Word of God because it has saved everyone that is a Christian in this room. And we need to be proud of that fact and helping others to come to the salvation of Jesus Christ. Because without it, there's going to be a lot of souls in hell come Judgment Day. And I want to make sure that I do my best that I can say, I tried to keep you out of there, but hey, We all got a choice. Each and every one of us has a choice. There's no one here that is predestined to go to heaven or predestined to go to hell. It's our own choice, whichever place we make it. We were working on the well the other day, and I was talking about my brother that lives in Little Rock, Arkansas. My whole family was raised in the Church of Christ. I've never known anything else but the Church of Christ. My oldest brother and I talk at least once a week. He hadn't been to church in probably 40 years. And I asked him one day, I said, do you just not believe in God or you just don't know if there's a God? You know, the difference between an atheist and an agnostic. And he said, I don't believe in God. And I said, well, what if I'm right and you're wrong? He said, if you're right and I'm wrong, you're going to heaven, I'm going to hell. How bad a statement is that? Wouldn't you want to make sure that you did everything that you could in order to go to heaven? To make sure you had that eternal reward. But some people they're just stubborn. They just don't want to be there and do that. Now turn over to James 1, 21 through 25. James 1, 21 through 25. And here we also, it talks about be ye doers of the word. We can't be ashamed and we must be doers of the word. Now James 1, 21 through 25. Wherefore, lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness, and receive with meekness the engrafted word which is able to save your soul. Be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. For if any be hearers of the word and not doers, he is like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass. For he beholdeth himself and goeth his way, and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deeds. James 1, 21 through 25. Once again, we see here, we can't be ashamed. You know, we got to get out there and talk about it. And we got to be doers of the word. If we're doers, hey, we may be bring somebody to Christ just in our actions and them seeing that we're good, faithful Christians. I've said before, I hate to say it, but one of the worst things that we have going for us is people that claim to be Christians, come to church on Sunday, but come Monday through Saturday, you can't even tell they're a Christian. They're telling dirty jokes, they're drinking, just being terrible people. And what does that do for the church? When the people around them see them saying, well, these people are supposed to be Christians. If that's what it is to be a Christian, I don't want to be a part of that. But if we're living lives like Christians should, hey, we may bring somebody to Christ. That's one thing I said. Y'all heard me talk about this before, about my parents growing up in the church. I always admired them because they weren't people that said, do what I say, not what I do. They did what they preached and taught us kids. I never heard them cuss, mom or daddy, neither one, a cuss word come out of their mouth. They never drank. They weren't doing the things that you're not supposed to be doing. They lived by the Bible every day of the week. And I wondered sometimes about my father, about how he was at work, because, you know, when men get off to work, you don't really know what things are going on. You know, they may be a totally different person. Well, when I got up in my mid-20s, I ended up going to work for Inesh Pro Company, which was the company Daddy worked for. Well, I'd worked in the woods for a while and got laid off, and ended up, a job came open, same place Daddy worked. And they came to me and they said, Sam, you got any problems working with your dad? And I said, no, I ain't got no problems working with Dad. They went and asked Dad. Dad said, no, I don't have any problems working with Sammy. So I went to work, and I could tell from day one he was the same there as he was at church on Sunday, because the men didn't tell dirty jokes around him. You know, you could tell that they tried to clean up their language when he was around. So I knew that he was living the same life, and it impressed me. And that's why I say part of the reason that I'm preaching today is so that I can get to heaven to be with mom and daddy when I die. With all the family members that were good, faithful Christians, that's going to be my reward. So we don't ever have to part ever again, never again. Now the last part of Ezra 7:10. Notice the last section of this verse. To teach in Israel statutes and judgment. Ezra 7:10, the last part. So what do we need to be doing? We need to be teaching it. We need to be preaching it. We need to be prepare our hearts. We need to be doers studying. We need to be doers, and then we need to be teaching it. One of the great commissions, Matthew 28:19-20. Matthew 28:19-20. And I want you to take, all of you, to take this scriptures to heart. Because when it was given to all of us. It wasn't given to just a few. It was given to all of us. And the second word in this is ye. And I want you to take the ye out, and I want you, just in your mind, to put me in there. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I'm with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen. So right there, take that second word, go ye, and put in go me. Go me, therefore, and teach all nations. Puts a little different emphasis on it, doesn't it? Puts it on each and every one of our own laps. Lays it right in our laps. This is what we need to do. You can say, Brother Sam, how can you tell me to go out there and preach the gospel to every nation? Hey, first of all, these aren't my words. If you notice, those are the words of Jesus Christ himself. And he's saying, go ye therefore and teach all nations. He's giving the commission, it ain't me. So you better think about this, and you better do your best to do this great commission. Now turn over to Acts 5:42. Acts 5:42. And now I'm going to set this scripture up a little bit. Here the apostles have been arrested. They've been beaten. They've been commanded not to speak in the name of Jesus. And then the council let them go. And what did they do? They went away rejoicing to be found worthy to be in the same company as the persecuted. And now we see in Acts 5:42, and daily in the temple and in every house, they cease not to teach and preach Jesus Christ. Acts 5:42. Now what did I tell you they just got through going through? They just got through getting beaten and told not to be preaching in the name of Jesus Christ. And what did they do? They went out rejoicing and went right out and started preaching and teaching again. How many of us today, if we were taken out and we were beaten and told not to preach Jesus Christ, how many of us would say, all right, no problem. I won't say another word about it. Never again. My mouth's sealed. Just don't beat me anymore. Or would we take it like the apostles did and leave rejoicing that we were to be found in the same company as the other persecuted and go out and straightway start preaching and teaching Jesus Christ? This is what we need to be doing. Sometimes I think that maybe if we were persecuted more, we'd be stronger Christians. We might be out there on rooftop saying, let me tell you about salvation. Let me tell you what it takes to be saved. And giving the plan of salvation from the rooftops. We need the boldness to speak God's word. Turn over to Acts 4. Acts 4:29-31. Acts 4:29-31. And now, Lord, behold their threatenings, and grant unto thy servant that with all boldness they may speak thy word, by stretching forth thine hand to heal, and that signs and wonders may be done by the name of the Holy Child Jesus. And when they had prayed, the place was shaken when they were assembled together. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and they spake the word of God with boldness. Acts 4, 29 through 32. This is talking about Peter and John. If you want a few more verses earlier, you'll see that he's talking about Peter and John here. Do we make that prayer when we pray? That we can speak the word of God with all boldness, so that we will have the courage to preach and teach it to others. Have you prepared your heart? Is your heart prepared for the challenges of this life? If not, you need to prepare it. You need to get that old tiller out or the old mule and hook up the plow, or get the tractor out and hook that cultivator up behind it and get that heart prepared if that's what it takes. We've went over this evening what it takes to prepare the heart. What Ezra did to prepare his heart for the job that he had before him. If your heart is not prepared, will you prepare it today? Some of you may have never obeyed the gospel. Here's the plan of salvation. You must hear the gospel, Romans 1:16. You must believe the gospel, Acts 16, 30 through 31.